This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on International Day of Forests 2025, Government's Vision for Forests and Food Security. The participants are Ramesh Kumar Pandey, IG Forest, Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climate Change, Sonali Ghosh, Field Director, Kaziranga National Park, Assam, Anshu Pragyan Das, Divisional Forest Officer, Hirakud Wildlife Division, Odisha, Renny Arpillai, Deputy Director, Wildlife Circle, Kerala. The moderator is Sonu Sood, Anchor.
21st March was established as the International Day of Forests, IDF, by the United Nations in 2012, and it is being celebrated today all across the world. To help us understand the significance of this day, the value of forests for our ecology and our economy, and to throw light on the government initiatives and progress in conserving and enhancing our forest wealth, we have a distinguished panel of experts. IG Forests, Ramesh Kumar Pandey, Divisional Forest Officer Bhubaneswar Anshu Pragyan Das, Sonali Ghosh, who is the Field Director of Kaziranga National Park in Assam, and Deputy Director Wildlife Circle Kerala, Renny R. Pillai. A warm welcome to you, sirs and ma'ams.
Thank you.
So to begin the discussion, we'll come to you, Mr. Pandey. We'd like to know from you, what is the significance of UN celebrating 21st March as the International Day of Forests? What is the major objective behind this initiative?
As you have rightly pointed out in your initial remark, that this initiative was started by United Nations in 2012. And the main purpose of celebrating this day is to make people aware about the importance of the forest and the types of the forest and the benefits we derive out of the forest. So basically, it was a movement to get people connected with the forest and to know that what we are getting out of it.
So, sir, you said that one of the main things is to tell us about the benefits of making us aware of the benefits that forests accrue to us. Can you tell us why are forests called the lungs of our planet, and in what all ways does an expanding forest cover help our ecology and economy?
Yes, you have rightly pointed out, people say that the forests are our lungs because forest is a big source which provides oxygen and by sequestering carbon dioxide. So the oxygen is required for almost all living beings to survive, and this comes out of the plants and forests. That's why they are called our lungs. But as you have also asked that, what is the significance that how the forests are associated with us, with the ecosystem services and all? I would like to point out that this year's theme of the International Day of Forests is Forests and Food. And it signifies that forests give us a lot of food items such as fruits, nuts, roots, tuber, mushrooms, honey, and they also help us in getting our agricultural crop pollinated because they are the host of many insects and bees. So forests not only indirectly support our life, but also directly give us food, water, and also support in getting agricultural crops. So this has immense value for our survival, for people's life, for giving livelihood for the people. Even people say that healthy forest means healthy people. So the forest is a large umbrella under which a lot of things directly, indirectly comes to the human being. But somehow in our today's life, we are not that strongly connected with the importance of the forest in terms of intangible and tangible benefits. And this is the reason why this day is celebrated, to remind people, to connect people to know about the forest and their benefits.
In India, forests are deeply intertwined with culture, economy, and biodiversity. And their protection is not just an environmental necessity, but a fundamental responsibility. Coming to you, Ms. Das, the theme of International Day of Forests 2025 is Forests and Food. Can you tell us about the significance of this theme?
Forest is home to about 80% of the world's terrestrial biodiversity, with more than 60,000 tree species all over the world. Around 1.6 billion people depend directly on forest for food, shelter, energy, medicine, and income. The world is losing around 10 million hectares of forest annually due to deforestation, and approximately 70 million hectares get affected by fire. That is why to 21st of March every year is chosen as International Day of Forest to raise awareness among the local communities regarding the value of forest. This year's theme is forest and food. It is because 80% of our population are dependent on forest relating to various things like collection of non-timber forest produce, collection of tubers, collection of honey, firewood. That is why forest is mostly known as poor man's food. In few countries and states, forest, oxygen, rain, ecological balance, soil conservation, trees, which are known as lungs of the earth, all these components are related to forest. And if we see, F stands for food, O stands for oxygen, R for rain, E for ecological balance, S for soil conservation, and T stands for trees, lungs of the earth. So as F for food, which is the most valuable thing a human being requires in its entire life, beside oxygen, ecological balance and other things which I just now described, food always comes at first. And when we see forest, the primary source for human beings from forest is food, of course, as well as healthy living, a good lifestyle. And more than 80% of our population are directly and indirectly dependent on forest, not only for food as well as for other things. But food remains the primary need of human beings from forest.
Thank you so much, Ms. Dal. This is so beautifully you have explained it in such a concise fashion. Coming to you, Sonali ji, you are the first woman field director of Kaziranga National Park. Can you tell us how challenging is it to preserve the ecology, to preserve the environment in such a huge park, which is so important for the country?
Well, I think I'm very proud, and it's a humbling experience to be leading a wonderful team of Forest Frontline who manage and safeguard one of India's most wonderful protected areas, which has more than 80% of the global population of the one-horned rhinos, significant number of elephants, tigers, buffaloes, swamp deer, and many more. And this mean feat was not achievable until we got the support of the local communities and also of the forest frontline, which work tirelessly day and night in protecting these forests. So we have had a glorious history of more than 100 years, and yet there are challenges. There are challenges of threats from poaching and threats from climate change, and we are always proactively taking these head on with active management.
In fact, Dharmendra Prakash, who's the principal chief conservator of forests and head of forest force in Nagaland, he shared with us the challenges faced in implementation of forest management projects. Let's listen to it.
For any project to launch, it is required that we must have a good communication network with the people. Here in Nagaland, as you are well aware, that Article 371A has vested land and resources with the people. In many villages, we have found there had been some different groups who had different idea or who had different take on any project. So to make these diverse group to sit on one table and come to a conclusion, I agree to what we are going to do. That was the biggest challenge. To begin this project, we always needed to have prior informed consent of the village. In prior informed consent, we go to a village, we explain our objectives, we explain our methodologies, and then we seek their cooperation, and then there is a written document. So, no doubt, the first step was the most difficult.
Ms. Pillai, we'd like to know from you, can you tell us what are the various challenges that come when you are looking after a circle like Kerala, which is very, very rich in forests, and what are the major government initiatives which have helped our country enhance its forest cover?
As you have rightly pointed out, in Kerala, we have some strong points when it comes to conservation scenario. The foremost thing is Kerala being one of the best literate states in the country. Most of the people are educated or are aware of the conservation significance of forests and its resources. And that is one of the most important pluses that we are having. And along with that, the media awareness is also very high. Because of all these things, the government has a strong will or a cause to protect forest areas. So even though we are a state, a small state with huge number of challenges when it comes to land as a commodity, huge demand for land like that, but still the governments continuously have been able to set up a network of protected areas and protect the territorial forest areas. So education and awareness is one of the positive sides that we are having. But as you said, along with this positives, we are having challenges also. The increasing population density is an issue, and also the developmental aspirations of the people. And recently, the number of conflict instances that have been reported, the human wildlife conflict instances, earlier it was limited to forest fringes. But these days, we are seeing that such issues are being reported from faraway areas also. So that are some of the challenges that we are having. And these challenges, as it is known that these challenges have different reasons. So to address these issues also, we are implementing a multi-pronged approach, starting from the habitat protection within the forest areas and setting of rapid response teams, then early warning systems to report the human wildlife conflict, and also several missions to combine the positives of traditional knowledge and also the advanced technology in combating the mitigational efforts or the conflict issues. So in that way, we are trying out a comprehensive method to address the present human wildlife conflict issues, which is the most challenging issue the Forest Department of the State of Kerala are facing.
Let us listen to this report by Alok Ranjan Rai about government's efforts to conserve and enhance forest wealth in India.
As the theme for this year, Forests and Food, rightly emphasizes, forests are not only sources of nutrition and livelihoods, but also guardians of biodiversity. In India, forests are more than ecosystems. They are lifelines, integral to our culture, economy, and biodiversity. India's commitment to forest conservation is evidenced through transformative policies and initiatives. Like the National Agroforestry Policy includes a component of financial support for nurseries and research. Similarly, the Green India Mission strives to increase forest and tree cover by 5 million hectares. Crucially, it aims to empower 3 million households by enhancing forest-based incomes. Recognizing the importance of local communities in enhancing the green cover, Vandhan Yojana promotes community-centric forest conservation and development. These efforts have paid off. According to the Indian State of the Forest Report 2023, India has seen an increase of approximately 2.38% in forest cover over the past decade, and a significant drop in forest fire hotspots. India's approach combines conservation with people's participation and visionary policies, setting an example for the world. Alok Ranjan Rai, Akashvani News, Delhi.
In this report, we heard about the various concerted efforts which have been made by the government linking forests, food and livelihood. He talked about the National Agroforestry Policy, the Green India Mission, the Forest Fire Prevention and Management Scheme and Vandhan Yojana. Coming to you, Mr. Pandey, we'd like to know from you, what is agroforestry and what is the significance of National Agroforestry Policy for our economy, especially when we are looking at meeting our sustainable development goals?
As the name denotes, agroforestry is a system in which the forest trees are the trees which gives timber is grown along with the agricultural crops. In many parts of the country, especially in the North India, you see that the species like eucalyptus, poplar, then samal and softwood species are grown, which are fast growing species along with the agricultural crops, and the crops which can easily grow with the trees and are shed resistant crops. So the purpose of carrying out agroforestry is that you can take the double benefit of growing trees and at the same time growing cereal crops or cash crop species like haldi or ginger or vegetables which can easily grow on the trees. And the government of India had been promoting it for increasing the livelihood opportunities, also increasing the economic status of the people and getting more and more return out of their agricultural lands. This also promotes to carry out plantations on the spare or wastelands which are not being used for raising crops. So This is a system in which people earn cereals and money from the cereals. And at the same time, after maturity of crops, say in 5 years or 7 years, they get money after selling the timber out of the agricultural crops. This has also importance so far as the ecological restoration is concerned, meeting the challenges of air pollution, sequestering more and more carbon. So it has multiple intangible impacts also on the society. So it's a win-win situation, basically. On one hand, people are getting money out of it, getting livelihood opportunities. On the other hand, we are able to maintain the ecological security and sequestrate carbon. So this is the reason the government have been promoting agroforestry so that people plant trees on their agricultural field and can take more and more possible returns out of it.
So in addition to the National Agroforestry Policy in 2014, which was introduced by the Government of India, there is also the Green India Mission, and activities under Green India Mission were started in the financial year 2015-16. Can you tell us about this, Ms. Ghosh? What is the importance of Green India Mission, and what does it mean for expanding the forest cover of the country, and why is it important to expand the forest cover of the country?
National Forest Policy envisages that 33% of the total geographical area should be under forest. And in several states, we have achieved that. But having said that, we would also want to expand our forest. There is a category which we call as the TOF, or the trees outside forest. So basically, all these policies or all these projects help in promoting trees or a tree crop, which would be beneficial, which would be enabling, let's say, doubling the farmer's income, or for a watershed management, or for ecosystem restoration. And these various schemes which the government takes out from time to time has been very useful. For the state of Assam, for example, I can give the example of the Amrit Brikho Andolan, which has been launched for last 2 years, in which the state government, they have distributed free seedlings to the community, especially the women, with the aim that they will be able to raise these seedlings, they would be able to grow them and harvest them and get an economic benefit out of it, as and when that it would be required. And as of now, over 4.5 crore seedlings have been distributed, which are of commercial value, which are of importance to the rural community. So such schemes enable the communities to feel part of the movement, the part of getting a tree cover or a forest cover in places where traditionally, you know, there could be degradation or resource pressure.
So there has been expansion of forest cover. If we see the India State of Forest Report 2023, from 2013 to 2023, we have seen that the forest cover has increased from more than 6,98,000 square kilometer to more than 7,10,000 square kilometer. And another heartening figure which this report highlights is the decline in fire incidents. There is a decline, a sizable decline. And we'd like to know from you, Ms. Pillai, how big is this problem of forest fires, as we have been seeing even in other countries like the Amazon forest? We've been hearing a lot about forest fires all across the world. How big is this problem? And in that context, how important is the forest fire prevention and management scheme of the central government?
Regarding forest fire, no, recently that Los Angeles fire in the US was in headline. So in Kerala, the forest fire, as you said, for the entire country, here in Kerala also, the forest fire instances are decreasing because of the commendable job performed by the department staff, especially the frontline staff. And how we are achieving this? It is also a participatory kind. We are taking the local people in confidence. Actually, most of the people will be understanding that the forest fires of our country, most of the times, it's not happening naturally. It is all man-made forest fires. Whether they are doing it knowingly or unknowingly, that are the only distinctions. Most of it is man-made. So forest fire incidences, the department, Kerala State Forest Department, is having a foolproof fire plan in hand and a PAKA implementation system, taking local public into that action mode, winning their confidence to avoid this fire incidences. Like that we are performing, and this satellite awareness on reporting of the fire, that is also in a foolproof method. So we are passing on the information in a timely manner to act in the maximum shortest time possible. So in that way, forest fire incidences are relatively under control, especially in the Wildlife Circle Kottayam. In Periyar Tiger Reserve and all, we are having a zero fire incident status for the past 3 years at least. So that is a commendable task which we are achieving because of the consistent efforts taken up by the, not only by the department, also by the local communities who are involved in the management and maintenance of the forest as party to the fire management methods. So it is not a department initiative alone. It is a participatory model of fire control and fire management. All the fire prevention methods that are scientifically taken up as per the management plans and the tiger conservation plans that are being deployed effectively on time so as to control the fire incidences. So at least for the state of Kerala, we can say that fire is definitely under control and such instances are decreasing. But as foresters, we all have to keep it in mind that it is not a positive or a win-win situation always, because the global warming, the rise in temperature in the future, it will definitely be a challenge for every forest department of the country to work on it effectively. I think that the status of forest fires in Kerala and the situation when the temperature goes up, it is still alarming and we have to be on full swings to control it.
Mr. Pandey, talking about the same subject with you, Ms. Pillai mentioned about the satellite-based forest fire monitoring and alert system. Can you tell us where all technology is being used in management of forests, be it management of fire or the other aspects of forest management, forest enhancement, forest conservation? How is technology being employed?
There are various aspects of it. First, I'll discuss on the detection of fire using the satellite imageries. The Government of India has an institute which is known as Forest Survey of India, and it has a very robust system of detecting forest fires and communicating them on real-time basis to the field officials. And this system, based on capturing the satellite imageries through National Remote Sensing Organization, and using the satellites which are passing through the Indian subcontinents, they are known as MODIS and VIRS. They capture actually satellite imageries, then they pass on those imageries to the National Remote Sensing Organization. Then from there, they reach to the FSI, and overlapping the imageries of the forest areas, the real-time information is given to the field formations, both through emails and also through SMSs. So what happens, as soon as this information goes to them, they reach to the spot and try to extinguish fire by various fire mitigation measures. This is a very interesting system, and we have been seeing such systems across the globe. It has been appreciated by many. We have used this technology in field and is very interesting to watch and see. One can see going to the Forest Survey of India website also, which also shows that where are large fires going on, which are the places where the forest is continuing for, say, 48 hours and all. And then subsequently, the data is also analyzed, which is part of the ISFR. This is one aspect of technology which is very well being used in detecting fire and mitigating and trying to give better response to the forest fire. Apart from that, as you have mentioned, there are various technologies and innovations are being used for forestry and wildlife conservation. For instance, I would like to mention here, like camera trap technology for identifying tigers in the field and knowing their numbers. Similarly, LIDAR technology is being used to know the forest volume and the volume of the standing crop in various areas. Then technologies like drones and various kinds of apps like Amistrice for capturing the field data for various kind of surveys are being undertaken by State Forest Department and also by institute like Wildlife Institute of India. There are intrusion detection system which has been deployed in North Frontier Railways to know the movement of the elephant. There are instances where AI are being used to know the movements of the animals and avoid collision of trains to the elephants. So various kinds of technologies, ranging from technologies in terms of thermal cameras, night vision, drones, camera trap methods, satellite imageries, communication strategies, virtual fencing, like techniques are being used for conservation of wildlife and forest. Apart from that, DNA fingerprintings are being used to know the heterogeneity in the animals, to know the lineage of the species which we are having.
Mr. Pandey, another very important aspect, improving the welfare of tribal communities. For that, in 2018, the Pradhan Mantri Vandhan Yojana was launched. Can you tell us a little bit about this effort of the government to improve the lot of our tribal communities and improve their standard of life so that they are happy where they are staying?
Yes, this is a very important, significant scheme started by Government of India through Ministry of Tribal Affairs, which focuses and aims for increasing the livelihood opportunities for communities living in and around forest areas. Basically, it focuses on various kind of forest produce which are coming out of the forest, mostly in terms of minor forest produce, what we call, or non-timber forest produce we call, and using them for generating income for the people. This scheme focuses on the value addition of these non-timber forest produce. For instance, bamboo is widely being used for Vandhan products, especially in Northeast area. Similarly, various kinds of seeds and fruits which are coming out of the forest are being converted into different kind of products, especially in the state of Chhattisgarh and Madhya Pradesh, where not only the corporations are helping out to tribal communities, but there is federation also working in that landscape, which supports the collection of minor forest produce and converting into different kinds of products based on the forest produce. I would also like to mention, because this is the season when the Madhuka indica flower is ripened, which is called Mahua, there is huge population in the central Indian highlands, which is dependent on them. So the scheme not only supports people to collect such products from the forest, but also to value add them, give them a tag of a product and getting them connected to the market. This scheme is very, very useful for tribal people, and many such popular products are there, which are known across the globe, and people can buy them through online. So this has given a platform for our communities living in forest to sell the products manufactured by them, prepared by them, though at smaller scale, but their reach has gone up.
And before we wind up this discussion, small question, Mr. Pandey. In and around forests, there has been a long-standing problem of human-animal conflict. What is the situation right now? How far has this been resolved?
If you'll see the increasing number of, increasing human population and also increasing the population of flagship species such as tigers, leopards, snow leopards, elephants, the interface has gone up, and there are instances where we hear about the human-animal negative interfaces. But at the same time, Government of India has come up with guidelines for almost all species which causes human, which are having close negative interfaces with the humans, such as elephants, tigers. And at the same time, there are various field guides and capacity building programs are being run so that the people can respond to the situations more efficiently and professionally. The compensation mechanism is being strengthened in case of agricultural crops being raided by the crop raiding animals. The ex gratia distribution is being made through app and online processes in many states. So a lot of efforts are being made both by the state governments and Government of India to give relief to the people. But it is one of the important and challenging area in the field of wildlife conservation. And we say that there is no one size fits all model for tackling the human wildlife conflict situations. So a lot of learnings are being made, and at the same time, the efforts are being made to avoid the human-wildlife negative interfaces in the best possible manner.
Thank you so much, Mr. Pandey, Ms. Ghosh, Ms. Pillai, and Ms. Das, for telling us how, by integrating conservation efforts with community participation and sustainable policies, India continues to pave the way for a greener, healthier, and more prosperous future. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You are listening to a discussion on International Day of Forest 2025, Government's Vision for Forest and Food Security. The participants were Ramesh Kumar Pandey, IG Forest, Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climate Change. Sonali Ghosh, Field Director, Kaziranga National Park, Assam. Anshu Pragyan Das, Divisional Forest Officer, Hirakud Wildlife Division, Odisha. Rene R. Pillai, Deputy Director, Wildlife Circle, Kerala. The moderator was Sonu Sood, Anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.